To live sent. It's what we all want. To live sent is what we as Jesus followers, it's what we strive for. That our own lives might be a reflection of King Jesus, marked with Christ-like compassion, knowledge of his story and teachings, paired with an ability to share that story, as well as an openness to his work in and through us. It's what we strive for as Christians. We want to follow Jesus. We want to be totally lost in his love, with our lives being fully enveloped in his ways and engaged fully on his amazing mission. We really do. It's truly our calling to really love God and love others in this super hands-on kind of way. Throughout Mark's Gospels, we've been learning all about Jesus in recent weeks. We've been able to encounter Jesus and his original band of friends and followers as they engaged in such an action-oriented way of living life on mission. The Gospels are really rich with examples for us to follow, with these biblical giants leading the way, and it serves as a real-life example, real-life role models for us to live sent. And in recent weeks, we've been gaining knowledge each and every Sunday series on a variety of meaningful ways that we can live sent and be more like Christ as we do that. And today we're going to have a chance to see Jesus again in action once more. We see his disciples and those that they interact with all taking action. And it really is this hands-on style of action that's key for us in living sent and serving others. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 29 through 31, where we're going to land this morning, we read, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. This is an absolutely incredible example of action being taken when there is a need. First, Simon and Andrew, they take immediate action by seeing the sick mother-in-law and alerting Jesus to her condition. Jesus takes personal action to then heal Peter's mother-in-law. We see Jesus as healer in this moment, taking her hand, helping her, and truly healing her. Fever left the woman's body, and she was restored. Jesus served another person by seeing an immediate need and providing hands-on care in response. So Jesus, King Jesus of the world, saw an immediate need and responded. And this is really incredible. Mighty King Jesus saw a need and met it, and see this powerful example for every single one of us here today. See a need and answer it, because we cannot possibly be busier than Jesus. We too can stop in our day when we see a need and do our best to meet it. Note that Jesus restored the woman's physical health, and in doing so, he also restored her to vocation and service. In biblical times, if a person fell ill and needed to be in bed, they lost much of their value and their role in the community. So it was really a big deal to be sick in bed. So Jesus' immediate and complete response of taking time from his day to heal her, it gave her much more back than simply her physical health. But let's not forget what happened next. What happened after this woman, Peter's mother-in-law, is physically healed and her abilities are restored. Her response provides us with yet another beautiful example to follow. This unnamed woman was healed, and in her response, she immediately answers the call to serve others. She nearly immediately serves Jesus and his disciples. It's such a powerful example for us on how we too can choose to respond to the Lord. God gives us health. He's present with us through our lives, through difficult circumstances and our everyday conundrums. And we too can choose to respond with this very hands-on, action-oriented way, just like we see exemplified here in Mark's Gospel. It's really what we're called to do, and it's a critical part of our mission as Christ followers who are living sent. So what does this look like in August of 2022? What does it look like in a world like our own, where we sometimes can barely speak to one another without argument, let alone getting out there and really loving on people, and even loving on strangers? How do we impact other people? It can be tough to do, as the Apostle Paul suggests here in Galatians 6:2, to carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And I don't know about you, but today in this world, fulfilling the law of Christ can feel like a really, really tall order. And there's days where this might feel, for me, a bit complicated, possibly overwhelming for us. But realistically, we're not Christ. We cannot free someone of disease with the simple touch of our hand. But what we can do is help to meet needs. This is a piece of art that hangs in one of my coworkers' offices here at the church. And it says, "We change the world when we simply meet the needs of another." I believe this to be true. When we go out throughout our days, we see needs all the time. In our personal life, we see it in our work life, we see it on the news, it's everywhere. We see needs. And we can take time to respond. Where we can take time to respond to the needs that we see. And that can be how we change the world. We can share our love of God through loving others, sharing good news, and doing good. And yet, if we're honest, even when we know those action-biased core values of loving God, loving others, sharing good news, and doing good, we still sometimes feel stuck. We feel stuck when we're trying to identify those next concrete next steps to really step out boldly in service to the Lord and to others. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We just feel stuck. And it's when we don't have intentional next steps that we stop moving forward, right? Sometimes this might look like, well, we should love everyone. And that's true, but those overgeneralizations lead us to sometimes impact no one. It might be when we complicate things with, that is way too tough for me and I just don't know how I'd ever go about doing that. Or it might be those messages of self-defeat we send ourselves so readily of, I would never be good enough. I would never know how to do that. And it's those habits, those thoughts, those barriers that lead us to dead ends. Takes us to a place where we're not able to share the love of Christ. Places that keep us from really loving anybody with a hands-on, action-oriented Jesus kind of way. Most of us here today have learned that good and even the very best of thoughts and words and intentions don't always lead to good action. We end up stuck. Jesus, however, he served as the ultimate model. Jesus was the perfect role model of just how to take action. He was a perfect example. He was and is the king of the earth, and yet he served others. He washed feet. He stopped in his day. He healed a woman with his touch. He showed his disciples exactly what the servant attitude looked like and just how to live it out. He showed us just what a servant attitude looks like and exactly how to live it out. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 15 through 17, Jesus says, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus sets the perfect example, and he calls us to follow. We're called to live sent and provide very practical, hands-on care for others along our journey, to respond immediately when we see the needs and when we're able to step in. So we have asked you over recent weeks as a part of this series to consider, what does living sent really look like for you? And we've also asked you to consider, to whom have you been sent? A list of people in your lives and on your journey that you might be able to impact for Christ. And as you think of these folks today, It's my hope that you can possibly begin to see what form loving on them will take. You know them as whole people, living and breathing, filled with joy and pain and sorrow and hope and all that is the human experience. And yet, I venture to say that some of you might still feel stuck. And I venture to say that only because feeling stuck has at times been my own experience. I simply feel stuck sometimes, and I'm not exactly sure what's next. So I want to get practical today and offer up a tool that I've returned to over the past few years in my own journey towards living sent. And a few years ago, I was presented with an opportunity to read this book and do a study, and it is called, Surprise the World, The Five Habits of Highly Missional People. It's written by Michael Frost, and it's one of those books that really did make a lasting impact on, I think, not just me. I know that some of my colleagues returned to this, and I know that there are some small groups out there that have used this. It's a pretty popular read amongst groups. The five habits outlined by Frost in this book have become a bit of a go-to for me, like tools in my toolbox that I can return to when I'm not sure how I take personal action. When I get stuck and I find myself wondering, how am I living a life that can really impact others for Jesus or have them be curious about him? Maybe some of you have heard of bells. It's what we're going to dive into today. And it is a set of habits with concrete and intentional skills that are simple to develop and somewhat easy to maintain in your own pursuit of living sent. These habits are designed to help you share the gospel and to really live in a sent way that is gracious to others, yet very surprising. The habits will help you transform your days so that you will have missional and meaningful impact on those that you encounter. So what does it mean? Bless others, eat together, listen to the Spirit, learn Christ, and sent. So first up is bless others. And Frost suggests that we create a habit of blessing others. But what does it mean to bless? It's a word, especially in the church, that we say a lot, and we don't often stop and take a look at what it really means. Quick word study and a peek in my big old concordance and a few online dictionaries have rendered the truth that there's several meanings to the word. In Greek, eulogio, which means to speak well of or to praise, with you as a prefix meaning good or well. Or makarios, which translates to fortunate, happier, and happy. Historically, to bless has described the act of consecration through religious rite or word. And Merriam-Webster finally defines the word bless to invoke divine care and to confer prosperity or happiness upon. But for today's purpose and in the context of Frost's work, we can understand it to mean being generous, to build a person up, to add strength to another, or encourage. So in practice, Frost says that when we bless someone, this can include things such as words of affirmation, acts of kindness, gift-giving, and generosity. Blessing other people can take so many forms. It could be providing true hands-on care for someone who's in failing health. It could be giving your time to someone experiencing change or loneliness. It could be actions like sending a text message with a positive message, encouragement, or scripture. It can look like dropping off a pie or another treat that you'd like to share with another person. It could be mowing a lawn. It could be sending a written note, dropping off a meal from your favorite restaurant. It could be having coffee with someone, just sending flowers, praying with and for another person. It can be as simple, as fancy as you'd like. There's not a set way that we're called to bless people. And Frost says this of blessings. We need to develop a rhythm of gift giving, time spending, and affirmation sharing as an end in itself because it fosters a spirit of generosity. It mirrors the character of God and it alerts others to his reign. We need to develop a rhythm of gift giving, time spending, and affirmation sharing as an end in itself. As an end in itself. It's good stuff. But note, however, that we don't bless other people for our own personal gain or only to convert them. You can see there are a whole variety of ways that you can bless those around you. So consider now, how will you bless others in your life? It's something that you can pray about. You can wisely discern meaningful ways to really bless those around you. And the list that I mentioned just a moment ago, those are real life examples of how my coworkers have either been blessed in the last few months or they've blessed others with. The ways are many. And how you choose to best bless others is rooted in who God has created you uniquely to be, in combination with the uniqueness of all those that you're engaged with. And simply put, don't miss this, you have to know who you are blessing to actually be a blessing. You have to know who you are blessing to actually be a blessing. Because your acts of blessing others, they should make the recipient actually feel blessed. They should never make them feel manipulated or bribed. Blessing another person should make them feel as though strength has been added to them. 3, Frost suggests that we strive to bless 3 people each week, one of whom is not a member of the church, one of whom we might consider an outsider. 3 people each week. That's it. So next, we eat together. You heard me say this 2 weeks ago, that Jesus ate with people all the time. He broke bread with others. He spent time with them. Jesus really took the time to get to know other people, and you should too. You should too. And remember, Jesus is our perfect role model. Jesus was intentional in getting to know people, to learn their joy, to learn their needs. And here's where you can start to see how these habits work together. As you spend time eating with people, breaking bread with people, getting to know them, you'll also learn how to be a true blessing in their life. So Frost suggests that we develop the practice of eating with others throughout the week, not just Sundays after church, but at a variety of times throughout your week. And eating with other people is truly an essential Christian practice that not only allows you to spend time with other people, but it also gives the opportunity to practice hospitality, which is a necessary thing. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. It's Romans 12:13, and here we see that hospitality is essential. And learning the practice of hospitality can really help us care for other people and do it well, just like Jesus did, and meet the immediate needs of those around us. Now, I suspect at this moment there might be some people who are saying, well, Randy, that's great, but I'm not a good host. It stresses me out, and I really don't enjoy doing it. And that's okay. You can practice hospitality outside of your home. You can invite someone to your favorite spot. You could choose to simplify how you host in your own home or on your property. You sure can set a fancy table in your dining room if that's what is your gift. You could roast s'mores around a campfire or a fire table on your patio. You can have a cup of tea or coffee on your front porch. The point is that you share a table with people 3 times per week and talk to them. Be present. Be inclusive. Be graceful, open-minded, non-judgmental in the conversations that you will have and the relationships that you will build. Because that's what happens when you spend time across the table from human beings. You build relationships. So again here, Frost suggests that we eat with 3 people each week, including one person who's not a member of the church. Hebrews 13:2 does suggest that we also show hospitality to strangers. So we have ample opportunity to practice hospitality. We also have the opportunity to eagerly accept, anticipate the possibility of return invitations. It's exciting. As we eat with people, there's the opportunity that we may be invited to their table. And don't miss out on these opportunities. Accept those invitations. Accept those missional opportunities to build relationships with new people, to deepen relationships with those that you already know. It's really exciting to think about it. The third habit takes us in a new direction. After we focused on blessing and eating with other people, this third habit reminds us to listen to the Spirit and commune with God. So what does it look like to really listen to the Holy Spirit? That can feel tricky. Turn everyone and everything else off. And I know that's scary for some of us extroverts. And in fact, in between the services, I just talked to somebody about this with my watch. We know that the Spirit is the source of our strength and our wisdom. And Frost asks us to consider, how are we to know how to negotiate our way through the world, eating with and blessing others, without the Spirit's voice to guide us away from falling into sin? How are we to know how to negotiate our way through the world without the Spirit's voice to guide us? As you work to be truly Spirit-led and open to God's wisdom, be intentional in strengthening practices and disciplines of solitude, silence, and prayer. You can use those quieted times to reflect on Scripture, to reflect on the stirrings of your heart and the wanderings of your mind. You see, we have to know how to actually listen to God and not do all the talking to then be able to follow his promptings. Frost suggests devoting one intentional time each week to listening and recommends that it be something designated. And what that might look like is an actual slot on your calendar, whether that's in Google or Apple or on pen and paper. One intentional designated slot each week to listen to the Spirit. Eliminate distractions, let God in, and then follow through on the prompting in the time that follows. Now, I know sometimes it's a common question to say, but how do I really know if I heard God the right way? How do I know if that was God that was prompting me? It's okay to seek wisdom and counsel with other believers and say, you know, in my quiet time, this is what I'm sensing. I'm feeling led in this way. It's okay to talk about that with one another. But know this. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It's when we listen to the Spirit that we can live in accordance with Christ. Fourth habit is to learn Christ. And Frost says, simply put, learn Jesus so that you can become more and more Christ-like. Because it is really, really tough, if not impossible, for you to become more like Christ if you don't take the time to learn about Jesus and his teachings. So, spend time in the Word. Read and study Scripture. Frost says it quite simply. There's a missional reason why I want you to learn Jesus. We need to know him if we're going to share him as the reason for the hope that we have. And if we're going to figure out what Jesus would want us to think, be, and do here and now, we must know the gospel forward and backward. We have to learn Christ in order to strive to be like Christ. We have to learn of Christ in order to model our lives after him. Frost encourages us to engage in one period each week spent learning of Christ. This means we have to be intentional. Again, put it on your calendar. Find a partner for accountability. Join a small group because it is important stuff. And that fifth habit, sent. Sent. Recognize that you are a sent one. Every one of us can and should identify as a missionary. We're called to mission in alerting the world to the reign and rule of God. We're called to mission in alerting the world to the reign and rule of God. And though we may not all be gifted evangelists, we are all commissioned to go and make disciples of all the nations. It's suggested that each of us can do this and actually do it well when we seek a few things in our days. When we seek reconciliation and justice throughout our daily routines, because we all encounter scenarios where we can make a decision in the direction that we will take towards reconciliation and towards justice, what we advocate for, what we speak up for, and what we choose to stay silent about. When we take the time to see and appreciate and share the beauty of God's creation, when we take time to notice the beautiful blue skies and the wonderful temperatures and all of the beauty that is around us on a day like today, when we strive for wholeness, when we strive for restoration of the people in our lives, and when we hope for restoration and pray for restoration and healing for all of the world, we can strive for it ourselves and we can pray for it too. So how do you capture this fifth habit of recognizing yourself as a sent one? Frost encourages us to journal it. And I have lots of journals up here today, but why does Frost encourage us to journal? It's because journaling is an intentional discipline and it keeps track of our minds. And when we keep track of our minds, it helps us to process. It helps us to capture our thoughts and record our insights. It helps us to ask big questions and then seek out the answers. It also helps us to see and work out how we might identify ourselves. So Frost advises that we all keep a journal throughout our days as to just how we're living sent. How have we blessed others? Who have we eaten with? What have we learned in our time with God? What have we learned about Jesus? So I have these paper journals here for you so that you can get started, and I mean it. I would love for you to come and take one. You can get up now if you have a case of the Wiggles and you want to walk up. We would love for you to come get them. We bought them so that you use them, so please come and get them and put them into use. They fit in your pocket. Literally, they fit in my pocket today. I checked. They easily fit in a purse. So you can get started. So don't be shy. If you're not a paper and pen kind of person, that's okay too, because I would venture to say if you're not a paper and pen person, you likely are using your laptop or an iPad, or I think most of us probably have a phone at this point that maybe we could take notes in. We're not called to do it in paper and pen or in a digital format, but we are called to do it. So I encourage you today, make a habit of recording your journey as a sent missionary. Note how you're providing hands-on care for others, how you are sending words of affirmation to those in your life, to document how you're answering the call to live as a sent one. Let's watch this together. Each one of us truly can answer the calling. Before we close our time together, a wise word from Rich Velotis in his book, The Deeply Formed Life. Some of you are reading along with us. To take the call of following Jesus seriously means we open ourselves up to the surrounding world, prayerfully moving toward it in love. The results are up to God, but we have a part to play. When I think of words to describe deeply formed mission, I have in mind such words as patience, empathy, curiosity, discernment, incarnational, non-coercive, invitational, justice, and service. We need these words to combat a way of doing mission that is often impatient, transactional, coercive, obtrusive, judgmental, disembodied, and anxious. Each one of us is called. We're all called as missionaries, sent ones, to provide hands-on care to those we encounter. We're called to be loving and gracious as we work to serve God and join him on his amazing mission. Let's pray. King Jesus, we give you thanks. We praise you above all others. Lord, we are so grateful for your love, grace, for your forgiveness in our lives. We thank you that you love your children so perfectly, even in our imperfection. We seek to serve you and desire to live for you. Jesus, help us to provide care for others in a way that helps them to know you more fully and to be changed by you. Lord, sustain and energize us for your mission. Show us clearly to whom we have been sent, Lord. Help us to know how that we can care for them. Help us to know how that we can best share your love and ever-changing grace. Lord, we thank you. We're so grateful that we have the opportunity to be on mission with you. Jesus, we love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.